It's the final rewatch. The final rewatch. Before the new season, it's the final rewatch. I'm watching them all. The final rewatch.
Friends, hello. Am I showing my age by doing a Neil Diamond reference to open up a Stranger Things podcast episode? Maybe, but it's Neil Diamond, and, you know, it's worth it. Whew, this was a sad, exciting, awesome episode of Stranger Things, and my favorite thing happened. I've talked about this for years, and I'll continue to talk about it, hopefully, for many years on this podcast. I love it when the groups come together, and finally in this episode, pretty much everyone comes together right up to the end, last moment of the episode. Our group, our friends, are all together. And that's what's going to make Stranger Things 4 hard, when we know that they're not together. Some of them are, but many of them are not. But that's for another time. We're still in Stranger Things 2. But before we start talking about this next episode, I have some voicemail.
Yo, what's goody, bro? Just wanted to say I love the podcast, and Stranger Things is just such a good show. And hearing it and hearing you talk about it every night is just awesome. Especially the new movie recaps, or I guess show. Even the new episodes are supposed to be like an hour and 30 minutes, but it's just been awesome hearing you talk with them all the time. And I just want to say, keep up the good work.
Yo, yo, yo. What is goody, bro? You know what's goody? That voicemail is goody, bro. Thank you, Jake, for that awesome voicemail. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you're enjoying the recap. And I look forward to finishing up Stranger Things 2 tomorrow, diving into Stranger Things 3, and then ending this recap just in time for us to all get back to Hawkins and beyond. And guess what? Yesterday I mentioned that frequent voicemailer, I don't even know if that's a word, but frequent caller inner, maybe we'll say, Jax left a message that I couldn't hear. But got another message, and this time I could hear Jax loud and clear.
Hello, I am Jax again, and I got a question for you. I'm sick. I'm not in school today because I'm sick, and I hope I feel better. And Stranger Danger, your podcast is awesome, and and I love it so much. So please tell me if I feel better. I hope I feel better, and it's almost my birthday. There's 10 days until my birthday. I hope I feel better, and I love Stranger Things, and I have a Stranger Things Season 3 poster in my room. I know you can't see it right now, but I'm talking about it, and bye.
Thank you again for calling in, Jax. Two things. Number one, I hope you feel better. Number two, happy early birthday. And the third thing is, I'm very jealous that you have a Stranger Things 3 poster. We have like a couple flowers hanging up, pictures of flowers, some sand dollars, and our wedding photo. I don't think my wife would let me put a Stranger Things poster up here. But ooh, would I want to. Did you like those voicemails from Jake and Jax? If your name starts with J, you can also leave a voicemail. Or if it doesn't start with J, actually, it could start with any letter of the alphabet. All you have to do is go to fans.experts.com/strangerdanger, and you'll see the little link. It's on the side, or if you're on your phone, you scroll down, you'll see leave a message. Click on that. It brings you right to the anchor.fm podcast page where you can use your phone. You don't have to call in. It's like it uses the web. You can record right through your phone and leave me a message that, as you can see, I'll play it on the show. That's how much I appreciate all of you out there. Now, without any further ado, let's get in to Chapter 8, The Mind Flayer. So Chapter 8 picks up right where Chapter 6 left off, leaping over Chapter 7 completely, because of course Chapter 7 was filling in the blanks of where young Levin was all this time. The Demodogs are at the lab, and you see, first you see Owen say, "Mother of God," and then you see the other guy, who's like the big chubby guy, is like, "Mother Mary and Joseph," and they're like, sound the alarm, "Oh, this is thick glass, are you sure about that glass?" And guess what? The glass didn't quite work. Mike's yelling, "We're too late. We're under attack." Mike realizes they need to make Will sleep. Mike is a genius in this episode. A genius. Okay. First, he figures out we need to make Will sleep. He knows that because Mike and Will had this conversation in the past about how the monster, the shadow monster, is spying on them. Like he's using Will to spy. So if Will's asleep, then the monster can't figure out what everyone's doing, where everyone is. Meanwhile, those Demodogs, these guys run to the elevator. I think it's the same elevator we saw in the first moments of the first episode ever. The monster kills everyone in the elevator. I mean, they're all gone. And Joyce is not sure about what to do. She's not sure about knocking Will out. But and Bob's like, "Is that gunfire?" He hears gunfire out there. She grabs Will and she goes, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" He's like, you're mom. Hold him down. And Will starts freaking out. "No, let me go. And I mean, it's really the monster inside him. Hopper and Owen show. Oh, that's when Hopper and Owen show up. They grab Will. There's the gunfire. There's craziness. They did it. They knocked Will out. They see Joyce with the syringe and they're like, "All right, okay, let's go." It's craziness. Demodogs are everywhere. I think they're trapped in a room at this point. And then the power all goes out. We cut over to the Hargrove Mayfield residence to see that Max's mom and Billy's dad, they get home. They notice that Max is gone. Billy's in his room, getting ready, really, really like enjoying looking at himself. He's going on a date. He's got some classic old Metallica playing. "Open the door right now," the dad said. "Where is she?" I don't know. "You were supposed to watch her." He's like, "Well, she's probably at the arcade. You know, you guys were 3 hours late and I have a date. I'm sorry." But he's got much less bravado when he's talking to his dad. And you kind of see why. He's like, is that why you've been staring at yourself in the mirror like a?" And then he says the F word, not the swear F word that, you know, I've been known to say, especially when I'm watching my Celtics lose a game. No, it's the homophobic F word that I'm not going to repeat here. And he's like, "Instead of watching your sister." And, you know, I notice he says all the time to her, "You're not my sister." And he says to these, there was a girl at school. He's like, "She's not my sister. Don't call her that." So he's talking to his dad. He says, "You know, she wants to run off. That's her problem. Okay. I watch her all week. She's 13. She shouldn't need a full-time babysitter. And she's not my sister." And when he says that, the dad gets really pissed, rubs him up, smacks him around a little bit. He's like, "What did I tell you?" And this is where you start to feel, you start to feel a little bad for Billy. It's like respect and responsibility. Say sorry to Susan. That's Max's mom. He apologizes. It's like, "It's okay." She says it's okay. And he's like, "It's not okay." She's even afraid of this guy. This guy is, he's an asshole. I excuse my language. Now that word I'll say, you're an asshole. He's like, he calls, "Why don't you're going to call whatever whore you're seeing tonight." This guy just is a piece of work. And you're going to tell her you can't go, and you're going to go find your sister. I wrote down, he is a major asshole, which is an old Spaceballs. Look up Spaceballs, that clip. That's all I'll say. I've done it all too much. But he's like, you're going to go leave for your sister. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. What? Yes, sir. He's like, "Fine, Max." You see Billy tear up a bit, and that's you can kind of see why he is so angry all the time. So we cut over to Max, Lucas, Steve, and Dustin. They're on the railroad tracks now, making their way away from the junkyard. I don't know if they're following the screams of the monsters or not. And Dustin is explaining that, you know, one of those things was Dart, and he might be fully grown now. And they're talking about molting the skin. And Steve mentions the cat, and Lucas is like, "He ate a cat?" "Yeah, he ate your cat." "So you did keep him. You broke the rule." He's like, "So did you. You told a stranger about the secret." And Max is like, "A stranger?" Luckily, this argument kind of dies off because Steve hears the screeching and the growling. I could do that all day. And they head towards the sound, not away from it. And they see it's the lab, Lucas says. They're going back home. Inside the lab, it reminds me of Alien. You see this thing go by quick in a hallway. Because the power went out, the doors are forced locked, but they can be overwritten. You have to flip the breakers, then you get on a computer, and then you override the program. But the breakers that need to be flipped and the computer is all in the basement. Jim was going to go, but Bob's like, "What do you know about BASIC?" He's like, "Teach me." It's like, that's like asking me to teach you French, or I forget if that was the language he chose. He looks at Owens, do you know BASIC? Do you know BASIC? And finally he says, "I've got this." Joyce and him have a hug, and he says, remember, everything will be fine. Remember, Bob Newby, superhero. So Bob and Jim, they drag this dead guard, into the light, and they're like, "Here, take this." He puts a walkie earpiece in. Jim gives him a gun and says, "Do you know how to use this?" He's like, "No." It's like, "Safety on, safety off, point, squeeze." And Bob's like, "Easy peasy." There's a subtle great moment where Bob has the gun, he's like, "Easy peasy," but he's kind of pointing it in the direction of Jim. So Jim just very subtly takes his hand and just moves it out of the way. It's such a subtle moment, but it was terrific. I loved it. So Jim says to him, "If anything happens, you come right back." And Bob's like, "Listen, don't wait for me. As soon as those doors open, you get them out of there." Hopper's like, I'm going to get them out. I promise. Outside the lab, Nancy and Jonathan pull up. They see all the power's off. The gate doesn't open. Nobody's there. And they hear something in the woods. And boom, there it is. Our first connection, the Junkyard Gang. I wrote it. I love it when groups come together. So the Junkyard Gang of Steve, Max, Lucas, and Dustin meet up with Jonathan and Nancy. They're like, what are you doing here? Like, "What are you doing here?" Like, "We're looking for Mike and Will. Are they in there?" "I don't know." Then you hear again. and the monster, you know, the monster scream, and you're like, uh-oh. Inside, Bob is like, keep it together, keep it together. He's walking by all these dead bodies, but he gets down and pretty, without any issue, turns the breakers back on, turns the power back on, and Owens, they're upstairs. They're like, he made it. Because they could see the cameras now, they could see him. Outside, Nancy notices the power's back. And so Jonathan's trying to open the gate, And Dustin's like, let me try. Like, he's better at pushing buttons. Like, he's one of those, like, he's one of those younger kids that was like, let me do it. I can do it right. It's pressing a button. But somehow he figures out he could do it. Back inside, Bob is now talking to Owens. As Bob goes through the computer programming, types in tappa, 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 tappa. And just like that, he gets the doors to open and the gate opens. And outside, of course, Dustin thinks that he did it. He's like, I did it. He's got this big goofy smile on his face. Very funny. Inside, it's a really cool moment. Bob's like, easy peasy. And Jim just has this look on his face. He's like, son of a bitch did it. So they're like, okay, they see the Demodogs are in the west stairwell, and Owens is there. He's like, you know, there's some Demodogs in the west stairwell, and Bob's like, are there sprinklers down there? Yeah, so Bob's like, all right, he sets them all off, and it worked. The Demodogs went a different direction, so now Bob was free to go, but he left his gun behind. Upstairs, Hopper, now carrying the unconscious Will, Joyce and Mike, they head out, they run out of there. Owens gives them a walkie and stays behind to monitor things. At this point, I'm thinking, you know, Owens is kind of showing that he is not a selfish monster. He's not he's not Brenner. He's just not. They all go out. Hopper's got a machine gun. They make it to the front door pretty easy. But Joyce turns and waits for Bob. Owen stayed behind. He's now guiding Bob with the cameras. And he's like, Bob, okay, you're going. You got a free clear. Go. Nope. See that closet? Get in that closet. He's like, what? Get in the closet. So Bob gets in the closet, waits silently as he sees the shadow finally disappears. And he's ready to sneak out of the closet. And then the broomstick drops. The sound hits it hits the ground. And the Demodog turns its head. Run! And Bob runs, makes it outside, makes it out to like the main lobby area. You see him kind of looking at Joyce. He thinks he makes it out. You think he might make it, and they just look at each other. He's got this smile on his face, and then it gets him. It gets him, and she's like, no, and I'm like, no, even though this is like the third time I've seen this. Hits the ground, and this thing just starts attacking him, eating him, biting him, just killing him. Hopper comes in with a gun. He shoots at him a little bit, but really to no avail, grabs Joyce, gets him out of there, gets her out of there. He's like, he's gone. He's gone. At that moment, Nancy and Jonathan pull up in their car. They're like, come on, get in. Then you see at the gate, everyone else has to get out of the way because two cars are now racing out. The first car has Mike, Will, Joyce, Nancy, and Jonathan. The second car just has Hopper. He picks up everyone else, Max, Lucas, Dustin, and Steve. He's like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, yes, they're all together, almost all together. All together now, all together now. Well, they're not all together. They're almost all together. But then they show one last shot of Bob just getting eviscerated by all those Demodogs. And I know I've been calling them Demodogs, but we don't actually hear that term until, this episode, later in this episode. And it's just like, it's sad because he's getting eaten. It's both sad and gross. But then we cut over to the buyer's house. Jonathan is kind of tending to Will, who's unconscious still. Hopper's calling somebody. I don't know if he was calling the feds or something, a report about the lab, talking about Owens. They're like, did you check with the police? He's like, I am the police. I'm the chief of police. And I wonder if that's who calls back later. Then he goes and checks on Joyce, and she's just sad, and he just kind of sits there. Everybody is sad. And Mike's like, do you know Bob is the original founder of the Hawkins AV? He's like, Mr. Clark learned everything from him. We can't let him die in vain. Then they talk about how they have an army now. His army. If we can stop him, maybe we can stop his army. And they mention how they're connected. The hive mind, the brain, like the mind flayer. That's when we first hear the term mind flayer. They like to relate the things to, you know, Dungeons and Dragons stories. So Hopper's like, it's a kid's game. And he says, it's a manual and it's not for kids. This is the best metaphor. And Lucas is like, it's an analogy. Oh, that's what you got to worry about now. And they talk about how it wants to be the master race. It wants the destruction of the world as we know it. But if we kill the brain, we kill the army. And Joyce is like, we have to kill it. I want to kill it. He's like, We will. If anybody knows how to kill it, it's Will. And they're like, yeah, but we can't, you know, talk to Will. He's like, well, the Mind Flayer can't spy on us if he doesn't know where he is. If Will doesn't know where he is. Mike, he's a genius. A genius. So they start going to the shed. I think that's when Hopper's like, yeah, this will do. This will do. And they're all kind of helping set it up. Nancy and Steve are together, and he's like, you know, she's like, what you did for the kids, that was really cool. He's like, oh, yeah. He tries to blow it off. And Lucas and Dustin have a moment where Dustin apologizes about Dart. He's like, I did keep this from the party. I thought he was my friend. It was touching and just a little uncomfortable. It was cute how uncomfortable he was. You know, like, just kind of like, I made a mistake. And he's like, I understand if you want your girlfriend to take my place in our party. He's like, she's not my girlfriend. It's like, I saw you holding hands. She's like, she was just scared. And Dustin's like, maybe, but I could feel it. He's like, what? The electricity. I was like, oh, Dustin. Dustin liked the girl, and the girl doesn't like him back in that way. To be young. So Mike and Max are working on something too inside, and Max says, you know, that L sounds really awesome. Lucas told me all about her. Well, she shouldn't have. You could see Mike's still not ready to accept Max in the group. But he does say, well, she was awesome until that thing took her like it took Bob. Mike's not blaming her. He's just upset, and he doesn't want her replaced. But Max never even thought of, you know, that she's there to replace anybody. But I feel like subconsciously that's what Mike is thinking. Like, well, if this girl's in there now, you know, what room is there for L? Well, there's always room for L. Gosh darn it. I apologize. I apologize for the language. So Jonathan and Joyce are together, like, are you sure that's going to work? But, you know, they have to try. They cover every bit of the shed so Will will not recognize. I wrote down Will two in a row, but it was correct. So that Will will not recognize where he is. And the Mind Flayer can't use him as a spy. The whole shed, it looks like a complete white room. You could never tell what it was. Bright lights, everything. And Will is, he's woken up by ammonia. While that is happening, in the house, Lucas, Max, Steve, Nancy, and Dustin are just kind of all waiting. And Max and Lucas are talking. They're like, if he finds out where we are, he'll send those dogs after us. I forgot when they were around the table, that's when Dustin dubbed them Demodogs. He's like, Demogorgon, dogs, it's a compound word. And the other moment was when, that I forgot to mention, was when Hopper, it's like, well, how do you kill it? Like, well, you get zombies because they don't have brains, and it's a kids, it's for kids. I thought that was kind of funny. So she says to Max, you know, or Lucas says to Max, he won't find out. She's like, but if he does, Lucas says, it's judgment day. So inside the, back in the shed, he's like, Will is like, what is this? Why am I tied up? They start questioning him. Joyce, in the shed are Joyce, Hopper, Mike, and Jonathan. And Will starts freaking out. Let me go. Let me go. Let me go. Like, his voice changes a little bit too. It is really creepy. And Joyce says to him, do you know what March 22nd is? It's your birthday. And she goes and tells this sweet story about his birthday and how all his friends got him all these Star Wars toys. And she got him crayons and all about this drawing he made about how she made this big drawing all by himself, this rainbow ship, and she brought it to work and she was all proud. And then Jonathan's like, do you remember the day Dad left? They're trying to talk to him, trying to engage with him. We spent all night in the rain building Castle Byers. And then Mike tells this story about the first day they met in kindergarten. He was alone. He was scared. He's like, you were alone too. So I asked if we could be friends. And you said yes. And it was the best thing I'd ever done. And Will looks at all of them. And he just looks so scared. And he's like, let me go. I'm like, oh. But while that's happening, Hopper notices Will's hand. Tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. He can't say anything there, so he goes into the next room. He goes back into the house. It's like, I think he's talking in Morse code. So they come up with a plan. Jonathan starts talking about music. Will's telling stories. Basically, they're distracting the Mind Flayer. They're pretending to try to get through to Will. Will is reaching out. He's tapping on the side of the chair. Hopper is now using the walkie-talkie, the call button on it, to signal back to the group, beep, 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 beep. And they're transcribing, that's my Morse code impression, they're transcribing and translating the Morse code. Amazing. And it's like C-L-O-S-E-G-A-T-E. And I wanted one of them to say closet gate. They thought it was one word, but it just says close the gate. And then the phone rings. Their phone. The buyer's phone. I tell you, when I was a kid, I would know the sound of the phone in my house. It was enough. He knew it. At this point, he knew exactly where he was. His eyes like roll back. He starts going in this trance. And Hopper's like, he knows. He knows where we are. They get out. They all run into the house with him. He's all there. They get back into the house. They're coming. We have to go. We have to go. So as I said, they go in the house. Get away from the windows. Hopper has a rifle. He looks at Jonathan. Can you use this? Nancy says, I can, because she's B-A-N, Badass Nancy. So they all gear up for the monster to come. You can hear them outside. You know, they're getting closer. They're getting closer. Then you hear screaming and shrieking. And it sounds like the monsters themselves are in pain. And then one of them, that's my sound effect of a demodog being thrown through a glass window into the house, gets thrown in, and it's dead, lying there dead. And they're like, what the hell? And then as Hopper goes over, kicks it with his gun, maybe he kicks it or he hits it with his gun. He says, is it dead? Then all of a sudden, you hear a noise at the door. Something. They all turn. The door unlocks from the outside. The slide unlocks. The door opens. And then you just see the feet walking in. After a year, I wrote down, Mother effin' 11. And I wrote down the full word. I'm not going to say it, but you can imagine what it is. The look on Mike's face when he comes out and they look at each other. I was like, why doesn't Finn Wolfhard have all the Emmys? Give him all the Emmys. The look on his face and the, and then you see them kind of exchange a look, and then you see the smile on his face, and it just is so amazing acting, just amazing acting. And she gives this like hopeful look back, and that's the end of the episode. It is like, now what? Well, now they know what they have to do. The episode's done. We have only one episode left. They know what they have to do. They have to close the gate. And 11 get there just in time, killed all those demodogs, or at least those ones there now. There could be more coming. Now, fully, I can say, the gang is back together. They're all there. And Max is probably like, oh, so everything Lucas told me, including this magic girl with powers, is all true. Just unreal. When you think about the fact that a year has gone by, over a year, I think, at this, or almost a year, and none of them knew where they were. She knew everyone was out there. She's seen them. She's visited them in the void, or at least Mike. She went to the school. But none of them knew she was even alive. They thought she was dead. They didn't know anything. And I remember how Mike takes that, especially on Hopper in the next episode. But we're not there yet. We will be there tomorrow if you join me. So that's it. Chapter 8, The Mind Flayer. You know what? You know the drill, right? You know where to find me? On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Geek Mentality. The website, the Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. The Twitter is Geek Mentality for me. I already said that. The show is on Twitter at Stranger D Pod. It's 11:15. I'm tired. That's my excuse. I apologize. And of course, every episode of Stranger Danger can be found at fansnotexperts.com/strangerdanger. So with that, I say thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Remember to stay stranger, my friends. And until tomorrow, don't give Jonathan a gun. He doesn't know what to do with it. Just give it to Nancy. Fans Not Experts.